Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So it is officially official as of last night. The Vancouver Canucks are the Nashville Predators' first round Stanley Cup playoff matchup. And joining us now to break it all down is Chris Mason. C. Mace, we don't know exactly when game one will be, but I know it's going to be long days and late nights, not only for you and Willie and the team, but also for Predators fans as well. Just overall, your initial thoughts on the Canucks as a matchup for the Predators?
You know, it's very interesting. I think early in the season when they played, the way that the Canucks looked at that time to me was the way that the Preds looked at the end of the season, the way that they wanted to play, the way that they wanted to, you know, control the possession numbers, play with the puck, play fast, quick on transition. So that was kind of one thing that stuck out to me. They've got, you know, kind of similar, I guess, coaching styles with Rick Tocchet and Andrew Burnett in the way that they want to utilize their speed and their skill. I think Vancouver, they've got some elite superstar type of players, highly offensive production, some career years from a lot of guys, JT Miller, over 100 points, Quinn Hughes, who I think will win the Norris Trophy this year. If you look at his possession numbers and how much he holds onto the puck, it's just astronomical compared to the rest of the league. He runs away with it. He's a guy that's, going to be a real main focal point, I think, for the Predators to shut down from the back end. And they've got some other big defensemen, too, which will present a challenge getting inside, to get to Thatcher Demko, who came back and he'd been out a while. He played a really good game, only gave up one goal, but Tyler Myers, huge guy, Nikita Zadorov. Ian Cole's not that tall, but he's 225 pounds. So you're going to have to work to get to the net front. And then once you get there, you've got Thatcher Demko, who's a big goaltender, one of the best in the league, very structured. I think with him, I think you're going to have to get a little bit creative and a lot of deception toward him. Easier said than done with their decor, but he's a very almost robotic goaltender that relies on the structure in front of him, but he's very good at what he does, and it's going to be a challenge. But I think the Preds match up well. Now, they didn't at the beginning of the year, but it's a completely different team than the Canucks saw earlier in the season.
Chris Mason is with us. We were discussing this yesterday. One thing that Barry Trotz brought up with Stillman and company was how they have experience, playoff experience, something that the Predators have that the Vancouver Canucks do not. How does that factor in? How do you think that's an advantage for the Predators, having that experience? And is it something that maybe we overstate, or do we not talk about it enough?
I think it's always worth talking about, because the guys that have experience and that have won, I think, will be so invaluable for the rest of the group in the situations, because it's an emotional roller coaster. Whatever happens, whether you win a game, not getting too high, or if you go down in Vancouver and you lose the first two games, not thinking, oh, the series is over, just keeping that mindset nice and level and just being able to rely and share their experience in those situations with the rest of the group. I just think, you know, it's a calming influence. And, you know, when somebody stands up like Ryan McDonagh, that's, you know, won multiple Stanley Cups, or Ryan O'Reilly, who's been a playoff MVP before and been in the very similar situation as the Preds were this year, it carries a lot of weight. They stand up and say, guys, there's nothing to worry about here. You know, I've been here before. Just go out. The only thing that's we need to focus on is the next game and having a good start. It just brings the level, I guess, of anxiety down within your group, and just, kind of helps everybody remain focused on the task at point. And the guys that have been there and won, it's just, that's one big advantage I think Nashville has.
We'll talk with Chris Mason, one half of the Nashville Predators television broadcast. Now, C. Mace, what are some matchups we need to watch in this game? Because it seems like these two teams are sort of similar in ways, but what are some matchups that we need to keep pay close attention to?
Well, I think the goalie matchup is going to be huge. These, obviously, UC Saros and Thatcher Demko are two of the best in the game, in my opinion. They play the position very differently. As I mentioned before, Demko is very structured, and he relies on repeated patterns, and so he's predictable in what he does, but he's very effective at doing that. And I think UC Saros is just relies on his vision, his instincts, his athleticism, but also a very controlled goaltender. And I think getting to the net against these guys, that's something I feel the Predators got away from a little bit down the stretch there. That was kind of one of the things that Bruno would always say is we got to get back to the interior and, you know, start scoring those goals in front of the net, because Vancouver won't give you, you know, they're not going to give you anything there. You're going to have to earn that space. It's going to be a battle. You know, I mentioned the size of their defense. I think that's an area, a battle and a matchup that's going to be extremely important. And on the other end, they've got such highly skilled forwards that can skate like the wind. It's going to be a challenge, and I think a matchup will be defensively. Can we contain them? Can we take their time and space? You've seen the Preds when they're playing well and connected, they can take some star players out of the game. They did a really good job. Nathan MacKinnon did a good job on Bedard all year. Some players like that. That will be a similar challenge, I think, with Vancouver, but they play a very fast speed game. But I think the way the Predators, played that second half when they really got going, that they'll be able to match that defensively.
Now, which one of these guys on the Nashville Predators or which line needs to step their game up some? A line or player that needs to elevate his game or that line elevate their game in order for the Nashville Predators to come out of this victorious?
Well, I think obviously, you know, the way the Preds are built, and I think we've all seen that their depth is their strength. And I think when you look at Vancouver, once you get past, you know, their top six, they've got some good, decent depth players. But I think the Preds would have the advantage in that department. But if I'm looking at a line or a player in particular, I'm very curious to see how Tommy Novak will, you know, do in a playoff series, you know, of this magnitude. The first time that he's really been, you know, relied on to carry some offensive plays, it's going to be extremely physical. I think, for a lot of guys that haven't experienced playoff hockey, I know the second half, you know, felt like the playoffs, but the reality is it's not playoffs. You know, there's mm-hmm. a completely different feel to that. The stage is bigger. The lights shine brighter. There's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of physicality. So, he's a player that's really offensively gifted that I think if they're able to get the right matchups or, you know, Vancouver's just focusing on that top line of Riley Forsberg and Nyquist, that, you know, maybe he can get some, hopefully, you know, elevate his level. I feel he was getting better near the end of the season, but he's a guy that, could be a huge difference maker for the Preds if he can put up some numbers offensively.
Mace, you hit on it a little bit earlier. I think it's going to be a fascinating storyline tonight to watch the two ace defensemen. I was reading a really good breakdown of the Norris race with Shayna Goldman, who we've had on before from The Athletic. You know, she blends. She does a good job of sifting through all the deep numbers and giving you some deep analysis, but not get over your head, which I appreciate because some of these number crunchers can definitely do that. But she basically put down that it's the two guys. It's Quinn Hughes and Roman Josi. Hughes probably is going to win it. She thinks Josi will be second. I was watching the Stars broadcast last night. It was actually TNT. And Henrik Lundqvist, when they did their votes, was the only person on the panel that didn't vote for Hughes. He voted for Roman Josi. But just to watch those two and how they can control the game and how they kind of are the backbones of their team is going to be really something to watch in this series.
Well, you're exactly right. And I watched that too. I was a kid that Hank, the goalie there, picked Josi for his pick. But, you're talking about two of the best to have ever played the position. Quinn Hughes is just his escapability. He's a smaller guy. His quickness, the way that he can evade body checks, get out of his zone, spin off checks, and carry the puck up ice. He's the type of player that was, I would say, maybe they played a little more similar, you know, before Bruno got here, when Roman Josi would hold onto the puck a lot and really carry the play, and all eyes were on him, and he'd either, you know, make a play to one of his teammates or take it to the net. Hughes is very similar. He's also a very good puck distributor. He's a similar quarterback on the power play. But you know, this is gonna, these are elite offensive defensemen that are going to have a major impact in this series, and whether you can, who can, you know, control or keep the other one at bay is going to be huge. You know, this is the time now when all the coaches, you just hone in and you're watching every single game. You're trying to find tendencies. What does Hughes do in this situation? What does he do in this situation? And try to, you know, give as much information, specific information to your team, but at the same time, not overwhelm everybody and the old paralysis by over analysis type of situation. But you really have to be aware, because he's a special gifted player that if you're not aware at all times when he's on the ice, he'll make you pay. And you know, we've seen that with Roman Josi and other teams, the way that his ability to give the puck up now and, you know, go jump in the rush and get the puck back and create offense that way. Once he gets in the zone, he's able to hold on to the puck, you know, get some coverage, and then somebody's opens up on the back door, and you know, he's such a good playmaker. But these guys are, they're special. They're superstars. You always talk about Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, you know, all the offensive guys are the first ones to, the forwards are the first ones to get mentioned. But in this series, I think those are probably the two best players on each team.
So Mace, this, you also have, I think, in a big storyline, the two guys that are most likely to be the Jack Adams finalists, Rick Tocchet and Andrew Brunette. Now, Andrew Brunette hasn't been a head coach for as long as Tocchet, and Rick Tocchet is got deep, deep respect across the league. He was a great player for a long time. But I'm curious about this. Within a series, how much coaching is done? Like, for example, in the regular season, you might have three games and four nights, and you're not going to spend all day talking about the next opponent. You're not going to change a ton. But in a series, I would imagine you've got more time as you line up your opponent to talk about little things. How much different is scouting and preparing for the opposition in the playoffs as opposed to the regular season?
Yeah, the scouting, it's off the charts. You're going to have just next level, you know, information and just, like I said, just tendencies. I'm going to actually talk to, you know, Kevin Woodley and get a really good breakdown. There's nobody probably, aside from Ian Clark, their goaltending coach, that knows Thatcher Demko as well as him. But they'll be breaking down, Ben Van Der Klok, I assure you, will be breaking down every possible way that he can think of to exploit Thatcher Demko. Again, it's patterns. Where do goals go in? You know, how does he react on east to west? How does he react when somebody comes down and you know, fakes a shot and goes to the outside? It's just going to be, you know, the power play, all the different plays that they have, face-off plays, you know, everything that you can think of, structure in the neutral zone. How do you get through, you know, their defensive structure? And you show as many examples as you can and just really try to pinpoint the main points and the key points to give to your team, so they have all this information before game one starts. And obviously, once game one starts, there's going to be adjustments. They're going to make changes, and you got to adjust with that and adapt. But, you know, it all boils down to, as much as information and detail as you can get before in the pre-scout, it boils down to the execution of your individual game, your team game, as the Nashville Predators. If they are able to play their game, I really feel that no matter who they got, whether it was Dallas or Vancouver, obviously every team presents different challenges, but I feel that they're going to be a handful, and they could very well, they're capable of beating anybody when they get to their game, which is the puck possession, which is heavy forecheck, you know, making the right decisions, not necessarily carrying the puck up the ice every time, but putting in behind their D and then just keeping it down in the offensive zone. But it's going to be a fast series. If there's one team that I saw this year that, you know, maybe not, I'm not saying the fastest skaters, but played fast, Vancouver was incredible the way that they were able to get possession in the defensive zone and turn it into offense in transition. So that's one thing that the Predators, in my opinion, are really going to have to be aware of and try to shut that their transition speed game down.
Chris Mason is with us previewing the Predators' first-round opponent in the Vancouver Canucks in the Stanley Cup playoffs. See, Mason, I know one thing that's concerned me and has concerned a lot of Predators fans as well is, as of late over the last few weeks, the Predators have gotten themselves into slow starts, and some of them they've been able to make up for it with big third periods. But That is one thing that's on my mind heading into the playoffs, and then especially considering how much time the Predators will have off nearly a week, if not a week plus, in Game 1. How do you avoid those slow starts?
Well, that's a good question, because that's a long time to be off. It's good in a way where guys that, you know, are banged up, and it's probably, you know, 90% of the team, nobody's close to 100% at this time of year. So I think that'll be really beneficial for this team, especially the way that they play, you know, the style that they play. It's physically demanding. It's nonstop. It's go, go, go. And it's just inevitable. It's tough to keep that pace every single game and not get run down. So I think in that regard, it's good, but you do lose your momentum. You lose your flow. You know, I know for a goaltender, it can go, you know, one of two ways. You don't quite have that rhythm, or maybe if you're not feeling great, you know, near the end of the year, all of a sudden you're feeling, you know, really good. You look at their goaltender, Thatcher Demko. He'll probably play tonight. This will be his second game back from his injury. He was awesome against Calgary. You know, he hadn't played in, you know, over a month. So it's tough, and there's no one way it's going to go or not. You just don't know. You know, you just don't know. Are they going to be, you know, rested, rejuvenated, focused, hungry, sharp to start? Yeah, that's a possibility, but it's also a possibility that they're not. You know, they've been off too long, and Vancouver just played, you know, they're playing their last game tonight. So their break is, what, 3 days if it starts Sunday? That's, you know, that's not too bad. You can still feel pretty good about your game and kind of carry it over into that game Sunday. So it'll be that'll be really something to watch, Caroline, for sure.
And one thing that I always hear, especially this time of year, is the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is always the toughest. Would you agree? And why is that?
Well, I think it's the excitement, and I think it's the best round to knock off a top opponent because of all the pressure and the hype. And, you know, once you get a rhythm in playoffs, once you get momentum, you know, then it just kind of takes care of itself. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But I think the first round, there's just a lot of pressure on some of these teams. And, you know, everything is just elevated and escalated and emotional. And that's why I think Vancouver, you talked about the experience. It's a ton of pressure, that market, and it's not very forgiving either, because obviously they're going to say nice things about the Predators and, hey, they're a good team, they had a good second half, but everyone in that city and the media expects Vancouver to be to win the series, and they're the favorite. You know, they almost were the top team in the Western Conference. So, you know, that's why I think starting on the road for the Predators is such a good thing. If they can go down there and get a win in one of the first two games, you know, they're going to have all that pressure, and they don't have the amount of experience that the Predators do. So I don't care who you are, you feel that. That's weight, you know, on you as an athlete and as a team. And it'll be, for me, it'll be very important for the Predators to go get one in Vancouver and, you know, kind of put the pressure back on them.
Okay, Mace, we've got the long plane rides, right? This is going to be part of it going up. I've got to do a little inventory here. I need to back up my next, like, I've got a show that I'm finishing up. I've got The Crown, which is like six seasons. So I'm like going into the last
season.
Watch
the Gentleman.
Okay, so I need to make a list. How are you on your, you know, stuff to do on the plane stuff right now?
Oh, I'm struggling. The Gentleman's maybe one I'll watch. There's one on
The Gentleman.
Amazon.
Okay,
I'll
write this down.
It's called Fallout. It's based on a video game. I think I might try that one. But yeah, I'm struggling. I need suggestions too. But if we get Wi-Fi, I'll just be just trying to make trades in my fantasy baseball league.
4 hours straight.
That can kill a long time.
That's like watching paint dry.
Also, CBase, last one from me. I'm not going to ask you who you're picking in the series, but if you had to, you know, if you had to pick today, is it closer to four games or is it closer to seven?
Jeez, I don't know. It's tough for me. I haven't seen Vancouver in so long against the Predators. I'm thinking it's under seven. I don't know. It's definitely won't be a four. It won't be a sweep. I don't think it's going to be five or six games.
Ooh, interesting. Well, yeah. Good luck with your Preds fantasy baseball
five.
League.
I can say it.
I like it.
Preston Ford, D-Mace.
I take the sweep.
Well, good luck on your fantasy baseball league, C-Mace. We're cheering you on. And safe travels to Vancouver. We appreciate you for stopping by.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, C-Base. Willie, good luck on your Netflix list.
Yeah, if anybody wants to text the text line, some suggestions.
I got a few for you, Willie. Really, don't worry about it.
I have Max. I don't think I have Hulu. I have Apple TV. So I think I got an array of things I could go
to. Treble's a good one. It just came out. It's about Manchester City's, you know, winning three championships in one season. I mean,
yeah, I got a wide range. I like the sports. I like the good shows. You know, I'm not opposed to one type of show. So
Love Island. Yeah. Good one. Got me through COVID.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Love is Blind. You can watch that.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Can't go wrong with Seinfeld. It's on Netflix. Yeah.
Just or you can watch Big Bang Theory. They got them on Netflix.
I love Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, you can watch that.
Okay. Okay.
All right. We will continue.
No shortage of stuff.
Yes. We'll continue the conversation coming up next. Plus, there was a texture in the text line a couple of days ago that said, you know, this is all you have to do to beat the Canucks. And I think it's a lot easier said than done. So I want to get Willie's perspective on the Predators' first round matchup against the Vancouver Canucks. I want to get your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie DeMays. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
But we are hearing now that the Canucks could possibly start Sunday as opposed to next Tuesday.
Whatever the case may be, because the Predators season finished earlier this week, Canucks season will finish on Thursday. The Canucks will have, or pardon me, the Predators much more time off than the Canucks, yes. Even if they do start Sunday. I like that from a Canucks point of view. I'm not trying to be a homer here,
yeah.
But I like that from a Canucks point of view. You lose the rhythm of playing games. That's the way I feel about it. I would rather be in the Canucks shoes than the Predators shoes in that situation, unless the Predators had injury issues, which they don't.
That's from Donnie and Dolly. It's a long-time, big-time Vancouver sports talk radio show. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. What do you think about that, Willie? Because I would feel the same. I feel like I do agree, but I want to get your perspective on that.
I do agree with that in general, unless, let's say, you know, a key player gets banged up tonight in Vancouver's last game, then they might wish that they had two more days to heal that player up. I think that's the one variable that you can't predict, but if there are no injury issues, I think Barry Trotz said it without saying it in his interview on Monday with Jared, and that was, we'd like to play quicker. Like, you worry about rust if you have too much time off. So I think Sunday would be better than Monday or Tuesday. They want to start as early as they can. And Sunday is the first day you can start. So you got to deal with it.
Keep in mind, Vancouver plays tonight.
They play tonight. So it still has not been determined, if you're wondering, because I know you're dying to know. Adam Vingan used to wish he was getting paid every time somebody on Twitter would ask him, Adam, what's the schedule? What's the schedule for the games? He made this big joke. It was a running thing on Twitter when he was doing the Predators beat. So just for fun, tweet at Adam and say, Adam, what's the schedule? See what kind of reaction you get. He will have some fun with that. But we're hearing that there's a chance for Sunday. Don't know yet. I think that there's still an outside shot at Monday. Could be the in-between, right? And not Tuesday as originally reported by Elliot. But got to wait and see. We may not know officially until after Vancouver's game is over tonight, which I know stinks for everybody, but I do wonder if that's the case officially. What are they telling the Predators today? Like, the Predators have to, they need a practice plan, they need a flight plan, they need a hotel plan. They need to know, because I don't think you want to get out there too early or too late,
right?
So
it's not like you're just going to Chicago. Like, we're talking about
a four or five hour
flight.
You got to acclimate to the time change. Yeah. You want to get your practice plans together. What rink are you skating at all the time? Brandon Walker, who handles all this stuff for the Predators, I always wonder how he does it all. It's amazing because he's also sort of the babysitter for the entire, you know, he probably gets a text every so often, just the most random thing from somebody in the group, whether it's a player or something. I try not to be that guy as much as I can during the season.
I don't think you could pay me to do that job. Babysit a hockey team.
I know who knows the answer to my question right now, and it's Brandon Walker, but
you don't want to buy
it. Am I playing that card now, or can I find it out on my own without having to blow up his phone.
Can I save up my favors?
Yeah. Exactly.
One thing that we were talking about at the break, we were taking a look at all of the first round matchups and looking at what the odds were for those matchups. One thing that Barry Trotz said before it was even confirmed that Vancouver was going to be Nashville's first round matchup was he was talking about being an underdog. How you could walk into this series and how the Predators have always played kind of with a chip on their shoulder of being the underdog, being the one that was counted out and kind of playing that way. When we're looking at the matchups, I mean, there are some overwhelming underdogs in the first round. The Caps at plus 290. And I know we're talking about Vegas odds, and that's not always reflective of real life. But the Caps at plus 290 in their matchup with the Rangers. We're looking at the Islanders plus 275 against the Canes. Massive underdogs. Looking at the first round odds for the Predators, Preds are just, they're underdogs, yes, but just slightly at plus 125. I know it's Vegas, but if the Predators find themselves, you know, they take one game in Vancouver, well, that sets you up in a really great position coming back to Bridgestone Arena. How long can you play that underdog card?
I think if Barry Trotz's public comments to Jared are any indication, I think they would like to play the underdog card as much as they can. They're the wild card. That's why I was curious about the actual Vegas odds. You know, I think, you know, obviously it's a big part of the mainstream discussion now, but I think it's interesting in just what's the perception of how big an underdog the Predators are. These are two teams that did not make the playoffs last year. They're the only two teams in the West. The other six teams all were in the playoffs last year. In the East, there's only one new team, and that's the Capitals, who were a story in, you know, minus 37. Like, they somehow got in. People are still trying to figure out how they got in. The Devils are the team that were in it last year and then fell back. So you have these two teams that haven't been in the playoffs playing each other in the first round, yet one is a far and away division winner. One is a wild card. But I think the odds would tell you there's not a huge difference in what they look like on paper. But the perception, because it's the division winner against a wild card, you feel like the Canucks are supposed to win the series. So you know what I mean? Like, I'm using that. If I'm the Predators, I'm using that to my advantage if I can.
I think you should.
Yeah. Say, hey, we got nothing to lose. You guys are the division. Pressure's on you guys. You guys are supposed to beat us.
The pressure thing is
when inwardly you're saying we got playoff experience. On paper, you know, they weren't there last year. Barry Trotz made this point about the Stars and the Oilers, the other two potential opponents earlier in the week. He said those two teams have been knocking at the door as a group the last couple years. They've been climbing the mountain. They've had success. They're close. They can taste it. They've been trying to climb Mount Everest. They can see the top. And they had to go back down to base camp. Ah, we got to do it again next year. You know, that the Vancouver,
vicious loop that
Vancouver
Canada's
hasn't been through
in.
Those battles as a group. And neither has Nashville. Not as this group together. They've got some guys that have certainly been on those mountain climbs with different groups. So I think you try to work that. You feel like inwardly that's maybe what you have as an advantage on paper over Vancouver. But that doesn't mean that Vancouver isn't the favorite because they were a better team over the 82-game season than the Predators were.
We had a texter in the text line. I think this was a couple days ago, but it stuck with me. And this is – I'm not picking on the texter. They texted in and said, well, all you have to do if you're the Predators is just stop Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, and then you can win.
That's like, all?
Well, I mean, all you have to do when you play the Kansas City Chiefs is get to Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Easy. All you have to do is score more goals than the other team. No problem. But, I mean, in theory, yeah, if you do that, you feel pretty good about your chances of winning.
Yeah, I think we're going to hear – I think the way we're going to try to bill it a little bit to try to hit that casual level fan is the big four. There are the big four scorers on both teams, right? For the Predators, it's the three guys on the first line, the forwards, Nyquist, O'Reilly, and Forsberg, and then you add Josi. For Vancouver, it's Quinn Hughes, the defenseman, so he's their Josi, and then it's Pettersson, JT Miller, and Brock Besser. Those are the other three big scorers. Now, they don't all play on the same line.
JT Miller and Brock Besser both not playing tonight from Adam Vingan.
Right, so they're that makes sense. They don't want to get those guys hurt.
The Mark Stone effect?
Well, I think they're just resting. Yes. They're resting those guys. So how, you know, Big Four versus Big Four, how does that play out during the series? That's going to be something that we're going to track, I'm sure, game in and game out. So it's Captain Obvious. Now, here's something that's going to be funny. Pettersson, okay? He goes by, and their announcers are adamant that this is how you say it. It's spelled E-L-I-A-S. He says, if you're, he uses more of the Swedish pronunciation, Elias.
Okay.
Now, in the middle of the season, they trade for another guy named Lindholm. Also, same spelling of the first name.
Elias.
He's always been Elias. So you got Elias and Elias. They're both from Sweden. They both spell their name the same. But one's Elias Pettersson, and it's Elias Lindholm. Now, you tell me what's going on with that.
It's
like
a,
what?
It's a one Swedish
guy,
Brendan.
And
Brandon.
I can tell you what happened. One guy said, just go with the American. It looks like Elias. Just say Elias. Uh-huh. That's fine with me. When I'm in Sweden, we'll pronounce it in Swedish. Mm-hmm. I understand that. And then there's the odd guy that says, you know, in Swedish, this is how you say it. It's Elias. Okay, so we'll say Elias. But you still you end up with this happening. So don't get confused.
Good luck to you and
good
to
C-Mace. Yeah.
These upcoming games,
yeah.
Really.
I'm going to go. I'm just going to say their last name.
Probably
Elias.
For the best.
Yeah.
Probably for the best. Willie, what would you say is the number one thing? Because we can talk all the time about how, you know, we need UC Soros to, you know, steal a series, to steal a game here and there, that it's about taking down the Big Four. It's about the Big Four versus the Big Four. What do you think is the number one key for the Predators? Let's just say game one.
Okay.
Not in the series as a whole, but game one.
I think, no question, let's just put aside that each goalie who is capable of being great has to be great. That goes without saying, right? You need great performances by your goalie.
No matter who you're playing.
So the next thing for me will be when Quinn Hughes and his partner, Philip Hronek, are on the ice, they're going to play close to half the game. There's a big difference when they're on the ice as opposed to when they're not on the ice. Mm-hmm. And so what are they going to do out in Vancouver when they have the last change? They're going to try to put Hughes and Hronek out there when Forsberg's line is out there. So can you score when up against the top defenders? That's the case every time, every year, in every game, right? You're always going to put your best defenders out there when you can against O'Reilly, Forsberg, and Nyquist. But this is an elite pair, right? They're really, really good. So can they get heat? Can they get scoring chances 5-on-5 when it's Hughes and Hronek going up against them? I think that's a big, big thing to watch. Because if they can, that goes a long, long way towards the Predators' success. Because if they can't, then it's, okay, where do you get the secondary scoring, right? Can you make up for it by having, when Hughes and Hronek are not on the ice, can you take advantage with your secondary guys? So that'll be a question mark.
And how much can you rely on the secondary guys? And how much is it Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Gus Nyquist, your top guys, that they're going to have to be the go-tos and they're going to have to be able to steal you some games? I mean, of course, you're going to have to rely on secondary scoring at some point throughout the playoffs, whether that's in seven games against Vancouver, whether that's several series, whatever it might be. You're going to have to rely on those secondary guys at some point, but to what extent?
Yeah, and the other area that I think, and Barry Trotz said this, there is a slight advantage on paper, or what they've done for the season, in special teams for the Canucks. The Canucks are a great defensive team as a whole. And so I think that'll be a general question, is, you know, can you get good looks against that defense? They didn't, the Predators, in the regular season. They had trouble generating the type of offense that they've got most of the time against them. So that'll be something. And then Vancouver's power play is what I think separates them offensively. 5-on-5, they're not a great offensive team, but they have a really good power play. And so the Predators' penalty kill, not the best, right? Not the best all year long. Now, they got better when the team started playing better. The penalty kill got better.
Yeah.
But I think Canuck power play versus Nashville penalty kill is a big matchup. Big matchup in this series.
Just stay out of it.
That's one way to do it. Yeah. Don't go to the box.
You know,
right?
Just,
and that's where your experience comes in.
Unnecessary penalties.
Yeah. Unnecessary penalties. And that's where Barry Trotz says
cautious.
Experience, right?
Yeah,
can you keep the level head? Not let your emotions get the best of you and take the dumb ones, right? It's going to happen every now and then you get one. But you can't take five.
Exactly.
Because then all of a sudden.
Win.
Right. Because that's where, next thing you know, they've got two or three power plays. And you're like, what? The game got away. What happened? Well, you took these bad penalties. It snowballed on you.
Let's get into your Predators thoughts coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And don't miss Nashville's best 2024 NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Next Thursday, stop by Twin Peaks in Madison at 6 p.m. for live 2024 NFL draft coverage. Get the best draft coverage as we break down each pick at the home of the 29 Degree Beer. We'll break down picks, maybe panic a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably going to panic.
Just a
decent bit. Yeah. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app. We are just a few days away. How many exactly? We don't know. But just a few. A handful. Give or take. A few days away from the Predators in the first game of the first series of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it is official. The opponent is now the Vancouver Canucks. But Willie, like you mentioned, looking like most likely Sunday evening. I have heard, I have seen from some reports coming out of Vancouver, 9 p.m. puck drop locally, which would be 7 p.m. local time in Vancouver time?
9 central would be 7 Pacific.
7 yeah. Pacific time, so... Get ready for some late nights.
Okay.
It'll be some late puck drops.
You can sleep when the playoffs are over. Just remember, that is the adage. You can sleep when the playoffs are over.
Sleep when
there
the playoffs
are, gonna be late nights.
Are over.
Get a little siesta. You know, get in the habit.
Uh-huh.
Do a little siesta after you get home from work. Okay. Chill. Let your eyes rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, nightlife.
Catch late up on your REM cycles.
Get ready. Yeah.
The nightlife.
Just get in the cycle. It's going to be late. Even the ones at home, there's going to be an 8:45 in there if you hang around long enough.
Can't they just start their games earlier?
Yeah, they should just start earlier. Why do we have to start later?
Well, why can't we start games at 7 p.m.?
Exactly.
Well, we know why. It's the they try to do a triple header, mm-hmm. right? They try to do an early mm-hmm. game for on the East Coast, mm-hmm. right? Then they have a game in the Central that sort of overlaps but is in that middle stage, and then a game out west.
Would that be Dallas?
Dallas is in there. Mm-hmm. Chicago always got stuck. Their announcer got in some hot water because he just ripped it. Mm-hmm. He said, "We had enough of it." Like, it was
we're exhausted.
Pat Foley, who's a legend. You know, he's retired now, but a couple years ago he said, "We've had enough of this. These 8:45 starts, nobody wants these. They need to do something about it." And he heard from the league. Let's just say that. But that's the tough part about the Central time zone, because they want to have that flow of three different games, almost like the NCAA basketball mm-hmm. tournament. And it is fun because there's always games going on. One of them's going to go to overtime, and you're waiting mm-hmm. for that one to end, and the next game is starting, and then you know you're fired up, and there's one that goes late into the night. That's the idea, is to keep you watching for a large window.
T's and P's to Robbie, Joe, and Nick in the mornings.
That I'm a little concerned about them, but especially Nick, because Nick is going to stay until the final thing is over.
He might not go to bed till 3-4 in the morning.
Yeah, he's going to be all in.
He will sleep when the playoffs are over.
He will sleep only when the playoffs
watch
are
it
over.
Here.
Yeah. He's taking that to heart.
The suit informed me I will be producing Sunday, so I am fully prepared to be up.
T's and P's to you as well.
So
Nick,
you might as well just bring a pillow.
Yeah.
You know,
bring
a blanket,
snack.
Yeah, a few snacks.
I was telling Max the other day, he makes fun of me because I love rugby league in Australia. I was like, mm-hmm. I'll be able to catch up on Australian rugby because what, the South Sydney Dabbyhoos or like
the Kangaroos?
Yeah, the Kangaroos.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's fun. I'll be able to watch it.
There you go.
Ooh, glass half full.
Yeah.
There you go, Nick. That's
damn
a great
late
approach.
Games.
Gosh.
All right, let's get into some of your Predators' thoughts. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on this. Tommy Texan says, I'm just curious. Am I the only one worried about speed? After watching the last Arizona game, I felt that their speed killed us. They looked like the Rockets while we looked like bicycles. I think we're an amazing team, but just not as fast as some.
I looked at that game, and because this is what we were trying to figure out, because that's the game that you know, the Coyotes got out early.
And
like
it was after the Vegas overtime game that was super emotional, went late, long road trip out to Arizona, mm-hmm. tough place to play.
Yeah, so I was looking at it, and I thought the same thing, especially early on. It was just like, man, this team just seemed much faster than the Nashville Predators. But then you got to take into account everything that was going on around that time. So I can understand why, you know, the texter said that in his concerns. But I think I don't think it'll show up in this because now they've gotten rest, maybe too much rest. But I don't think the speed thing that you – the lack of speed you saw against Arizona will be evident in this game. At least that's just me.
It comes back to me to straight-ahead team speed versus playing fast by moving the puck, by making sharp passes, smart passes up the ice. This is where Quinn Hughes, I think, makes a huge difference for the Canucks because he's out there a lot. He has the puck more than anybody else, and he can trigger quick transition. You heard C-Mace talking about it earlier this hour. So I think that's going to be a big thing in the series. I don't know. I think both teams are capable of being the faster team on a given night, and I don't think it's going to come down to who has the, quote, faster skaters. I think it's who's going to play the fastest.
Willie, if we don't see you tomorrow, safe travels to Vancouver. Bring some good juju there with us.
Yeah, I hope so. And, I'll be joining you from out in Vancouver. But if game one is Sunday, then we'll probably be in the air tomorrow. So I may not see you guys tomorrow.
Yeah, you may not see us.
But one way or the other.
See you next week.
You may.
Playoffs.
Get your movies ready.
You can sleep when the playoffs are over.
Baby.
You can sleep when the playoffs are over.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
Playoffs. Practice. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Enjoy the day and peace.